Welcome to the Legion Outriders podcast, your source for the latest Legion news, opinion, and analysis. And now, the Outriders.
Bo Shuda, and welcome to episode 147 of the Legion Outriders podcast, your podcast for the latest news and commentary on Star Wars and Star Wars Legion. I am Outrider Matt, and with me today is the man with a plan. It's Outrider Dan.
Ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho.
Very nice.
How you doing today, bud?
Doing good. I mean, I'm scouring these rules articles for all the little tasty nuggets.
We're going to be talking a lot about those article drops. But on today's episode, lots of Legion news. Those articles dropped, and also discussing what we've been up to. But before we get into that, I'd like to extend our gratitude to our patrons that make recording and publishing this show possible. Specifically, our patron of the episode is Lyle Kimball, or better known on the Discord as Rock. You may not know this about Rock. His upper body strength is such that he can actually bench press a full-sized African bull elephant.
Mm.
Did you know that, Dan? Now you do. He also once challenged a painting to a staring contest and won. But you know him as Rock. He's on the Discord, and we salute you this time. If you would like to become a patron to support the show, please head on over to patreon.com/LegionOutriders. All of that was 100% true. No, really. But anyways, what's going on with all this Legion news coming out, Dan?
Oh, man, we got a lot.
Star Wars news. We got to start news. There.
Oh, well, yeah.
We got that to talk about as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a couple crazy things going on. I mean, it's not exactly Star Wars related, but over at Warner Brothers, you know, their DC is mixing up a lot of stuff. You know, the whole Henry Cavill thing.
Looking forward to that 40K movie. That was like a reversal from what they said like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, he's coming back to do more Superman stuff.
And
they're like, never mind.
He's
well, because apparently there's reasons now.
But tying into Star Wars with that, Patty Jenkins is now no longer working on Wonder Woman 3. So that whole shebang has been, they haven't said if the whole movie's been canceled or if she's just removed for it. But according to her, she actually had an agreement that when she wasn't working on Wonder Woman 3, that she'd be working on Rogue Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
So the scuttlebutt is, at least on the, you know, the...
Rumor mill things.
she's going to be work on Rogue Squadron will start back up. And the rumor is actually that writing has gotten pretty far. So
okay.
We'll have to see. Hopefully that, because I mean, honestly, of the newer projects coming out, that one sounded pretty exciting.
I wonder if old Henry was behind the move from the Superman, though. Because now he's doing Amazon Warhammer 40K.
He's doing a Warhammer 40K project with Amazon, which hopefully it's more like, you know, The Boys and whatnot. And I'm not meaning in tone. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe in tone it's 40K, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are no good guys
but
in
quality
the 40K
of product,
universe.
Less so much on, like, what they did to Wheel of Time and the Lord of the Rings trilogies. But anyway.
The Lord of the Ring trilogies.
The Lord of the Ring trilogy.
I mean, you don't even know what you're talking about. Your credibility is shot,
yes,
sir.
It is. Sorry,
shot.
The Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah.
Mm. So hopefully we'll see some good stuff out of there because, you know, there is a lot of 40K lore and it can get pretty.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, really. Well,
yeah.
They picked a good guy, you know, a good figurehead for that. But
yeah,
anyways.
Exactly, a wargamer.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to see what Rogue Squadron is going to turn out, because man, Wonder Woman 2,
yeah, I wonder,
not my favorite movie
after the success though of Top Gun.
Hopefully that
has,
there you
they
go
can take
Disney
that,
you don't even have to really try and do anything new.
They can,
you can
see
just,
that movie and like, oh, let's just write some notes down here, maybe we can take a few pointers, you
I
know
mean, well, to be fair, they were basically copying Star Wars anyways.
Exactly. it's like poetry.
Yeah. Right. No more. You don't get to do that anymore. The end.
Jedi Survivor had its full trailer release. That trailer was hot. Did you get a chance
did
to
it?
It? Yeah.
When did that come out?
Just
That's right. I was watching trailer during the Game Awards.
Yeah, the full trailer.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, they had the teaser before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the full trailer looks great. A lot of crazy new mechanics they're showing off there. I mean, it looks like there's going to be a second character that jumps in and does assists with it. I'm curious if they're going to do like a two-player kind of...
Wow. RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
it was like Tekken Tag and all those Street Fighter kind of games. That's what I'm picturing. They just kind of slam in their Marvel versus Capcom kind of thing.
Or hopefully they do something Uncharted, like with I think Uncharted did two players because I didn't. Oh, I only did played I? The first one. Hey. I didn't play any of them after that. But hopefully they'll do like maybe a multiplayer. Hopefully that'd be awesome.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. But even more fun, the special edition box.
Oh, jeez.
Got released.
Wow.
Released the pre-orders for it for $300. Uh-huh. You get this. I kind of just want this case that it comes in.
Of course, you would get excited about the box.
Exactly.
You
know? But it comes in this big case, big Star Wars themed. It's got a, you know, it looks like an Imperial, like, sealed, I don't know, crate kind of thing.
Yeah. Cal Kestis's lightsaber is also included.
Oh, yes.
But you don't care about that.
No, well,
you want the box.
Yes. I can convert that to like a Legion carry case. Would be awesome. But anyway. But yes, the Cal Kestis lightsaber in there is actually compatible with the Galaxy's Edge saber blades.
Oh, I was curious because obviously it can't come with a blade. I already saw people like, well, it doesn't have a blade with it. It's like, how would you package that? Come on. But that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, so they're making it compatible. They haven't officially said it's part of the legacy lightsaber line that is available in Galaxy's Edge, but if it's compatible, they're honestly, this framework and whatnot's already out there. You can just take the core of one of those and just slap the bit. I mean, they have the previous Cal Kestis one too.
Yeah.
And they're pretty similar other than the end of, you know, it's repaired as opposed to being damaged. So.
Right, the whole.
So they probably just took all the components of that and redid it. But anyway. But yeah, that will be releasing on March 16th. They did the release date as well. And the tie-in novel will release on March 7th. And I'm actually pretty interested for that novel.
Did you read the first one? Is this the first one? Didn't they do a book with him already?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
This book is supposed to bridge between the two games. So it's going to be an interim. It's going to be the story.
That's kind of funny that they would do. We already assume you've played the first game and remember all the characters.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be little recaps or something for this. But
yeah, because I actually played and streamed it when it came out for like a week and a half till I basically did a playthrough. And then I haven't been back since then. So keep thinking about trying and going and playing through it again. But it's a long game. It's pretty long.
It is.
Yeah.
And of course, this isn't really going to work for the audio only format, but those Acolyte set photos that have released.
Oh, let's look at them together, Dan.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, look at that. Did you notice the thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yes. No. Take our word for it.
If you have a chance to Google those, if you're interested, there's some pretty interesting designs in there. There's a Zabrak character. There's people with bows, which is interesting. I'm curious how they're going to pull
Night
that
Sisters?
Off. They don't look like Night Sisters, though.
Well, what about the Danny Yen character? Baze's buddy.
I
can't remember his name right now. We always got to find Chirrut? One stump.
I mean,
Chirrut Imwe. That's right.
I was trying to think of the order he was in, not the character's name.
I mean, he was one of the Guardians of
Guardians
the Wills.
Guardians of Wills, that's
but,
it, yeah. But,
yeah.
But yeah, there's a Wookiee character also in gold robes, which looks pretty awesome.
I mean, bowcasters have been a thing for. There's just bows all over Star Wars.
But that's it for mostly the Hollywood and media news. The back to games. Some interesting gaming news. AMG announced that the Shatterpoint game testers have been selected and contacted.
Womp womp. Well,
so, unfortunately, I didn't get contacted.
I didn't get contacted.
So, we know
John
didn't
get contacted.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
At least no one in our gaming community here in Vegas that I've spoken to has been contacted. So,
I was very sad when we saw the tweet on that. I know John was kind of a little torqued too because he wanted to at least get an email. Because, I mean, we spent an afternoon writing a 2,000-word essay for this. So just, hey, thanks for submitting. You know, that would have been nice. But
actually, now I think about it, I don't think they even sent out the thank you for application emails.
No. So, no. It's like we fired it off into the void. And then a couple weeks later, hey, you're either in or if you didn't. Thanks for nothing. No.
So if any of our patrons or any of our other fans out there did get in, hey,
I'm
shoot
sure
us
they've
line.
Already signed an NDA.
Okay.
Congratulations if you are one of the special selected few. I'm not at all jealous.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so and on Legion game news.
That game.
Yeah. Our good friends over at Frontline Gaming actually just earlier this morning to recording posted an update about LVO.
Cool.
We're going to need to get LJ on soon for an
Speaking
LVO
of LVO updates.
Yeah.
How many days? Okay. I'm gonna do it. Really? I'm gonna spring the trap.
41 days.
41 days, Jeez. Man. It's almost here.
Yeah, it is almost here.
Actually, what drove down there to because Boulder City is about 40 miles or so out of Vegas. Well, from Northside, but dropped off five of the tables that were going to be decanted into the tournament kits that LJ has gotten put together. Jeez. Got to meet Mike down there. Nice guy, but he's the one kind of spearheading that. But they've got out in the middle of nowhere.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, so many. It's basically just a giant warehouse space down there.
Yeah. Let's see. They posted that the LVO Legion team wants to give an update about next month's events. Probably not going to read this word for word. I'll summarize it here.
Okay.
The team event packet has been updated with information. So, yes, the team event packet has been updated with the Battle Force legalities in there.
Oh.
So Battle Forces are legal for teams.
I know you're teaming up with Jeff again this
year. Yeah, we're still
figuring out. Has he started panicking yet?
When is he not?
Oh, okay, that's right. Like, he's always in panic mode.
Right,
never
yeah.
mind. Okay.
Like, he's at least about his painting and saying, oh, I need to paint this, and then he ends up
then
painting
he
his
right.
tools and yeah. other things. And
LEDs everywhere.
Yeah. John offered to paint his stuff for him for an exorbitant fee, and I said, well, no, he'd rather probably just take the hard warning.
Not at all shocked by that.
So if you're in the team's event, do take a look at that document, because the objective deployment and condition cards for each round, they're not the standard ones, and they have been pre-chosen for each round, are actually listed in the document. So if you want to see what sort of wackiness that our good friend Ryan over at the Stabcast is setting up for that event.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Unconventional warfare packet has not yet been updated, but will, according to this post, will soon be updated to reflect similar Battle Force updates. So I'm curious what sort of, because unconventional warfare already like does crazy stuff with the
it's unconventional.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
with the force organization
the force
charts.
Yeah.
So adding Battle Forces in there is going to make it real fun. They did announce that there will be a painting competition on Friday the 27th. Categories will be single miniature, full army, 800 points, and squad, 5 miniatures from same unit. Judging will occur during lunch and after the first round. Well, lunch is after the first round. There will be a dedicated area for miniatures, and you will have to pick them up before round 2 begins, because obviously I'm assuming you're using them.
That's a fair point. Although Disco T-Series... already won from last year,
yeah,
I think.
Did.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it won,
it
but it won
a,
my
It was
heart.
A finalist,
okay.
Yes.
So it's got to be at least that good, guys.
Mm-hmm. It is confirmed that LVO will be using Game Uplink. So we talked about that last
uh-huh,
time.
Uh-huh. I'm sure we'll probably... Well, yeah, actually, we need to get LJ or somebody on to...
LJ, Keegan. We have one lots of people.
Guys.
We're going to have one giant episode where we're going to have so many guests, it's just going to be a control mess again.
It's going to be like one of those telethon things.
Yes, actually.
All right, come on out here, LJ. The phone lines are open.
All right. There is an event exclusive tray and a special Legion Tournament Circuit mat. I've actually already got mine ordered because I got the premium ticket, which included that automatically.
This is the one you spoil yourself on.
Yes, I do. I mean, this is my, I don't do anything for crazy for holidays or anything. I just
crap, that reminds me. LJ sent me like a staff badge fill out form like 2 weeks ago. I should probably fill that out. Sorry, LJ. He's like, I don't care. You're just not going to get in for free.
They also did confirm that LVO will use the January 16th rules changes. Yes, the rules changes that we will be talking about a little bit later this
episode.
Confirmed. So considering the event is on the 27th, and this comes out on the 16th, it's literally 11 days before.
Well, it's going to be 11 days to learn an entirely new game, basically.
Yeah,
so
it's basically the new rulebook changes, the new organized play changes.
I'm kidding. It's not going to be an entirely new game. Just mostly new.
Yeah.
No.
He's not dead.
I think they've probably spoiled the most important changes so people have time to mentally prepare.
And with the upcoming, because we've got half of the article so far. So
yeah. Oh, there's a couple more.
Yeah,
still.
There's a couple more coming. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What
else we got?
And then list turn-in will be Tuesday, January 24th, so the Tuesday of the week before.
Don't wait that long.
Don't wait, yeah.
Wait till Wednesday.
And, of course, more information will be published soon, so make sure that you do follow Frontline Gaming, the Star Wars Legion specific page, which is facebook.com/FLG, Frontline Gaming, Star Wars or SW Legion. So at facebook.com/FLGSWLEGION.
We'll probably link it on the Facebook or
we
something.
We should probably, yeah. Because I actually took that post and shared it onto the Outriders Facebook page.
Cool.
So if you follow the Outriders Facebook page, you, you should have already seen that post.
Already
so.
Up there.
Yeah.
Good job, good job, Dan.
So,
yeah, we're getting down to it. But there's been other Asmodee news. Finally, we're getting some movement on some things. Moving at the speed of a Arctic blizzard, perhaps.
Yeah, so the Blizzard Force Battle Force box, the last Battle Force box for North America. Yes, all of our Canadian and other countried friends who've already had this thing for months.
Just remember, when you go to check out at the counter with your Blizzard Force box, if they don't turn it upside down and it stays, it's free.
I cannot remember the last time I was in a Dairy Queen.
I can't remember the last time you were in a Dairy Queen either. That's so weird.
Now I can go for an Orange Julius, dang it.
Oh, that does sound good.
Anyway, yes. So put your orders in with your friendly local game store if you were wanting
if you're
to get
a monster
that,
and want to play Empire, yes. Yeah.
Well, honestly,
Blizzard Force is where it's at.
And
sure.
So far, the rules changes haven't touched it, and the points changes haven't touched it. So, anyway. Other things on the Asmodee store. Our good friend, Mr. Esposito.
Juan Carlos Esposito,
yes. Moff Gideon and his wonderful Dark Troopers. Both of those are now up for pre-order.
The Empire just grows in strength.
Yes, it does. So the listing on there, though, and both of them will be available on February 17th, by the way. But the listing on there shows some interesting things. Where is it? What was it? The cunning Moff Gideon enters the Star Wars Legion with his new commander expansion, continuing to serve the Empire after the Battle of Endor as a leader of his own remnant of Imperial forces. Moff Gideon is the cornerstone of a new battle force.
Are we getting Imperial Remnant?
Imperial Remnant, yeah.
Oh, man.
So that is the, that's interesting that they confirm a battle force in store listing. Cornerstone of a new battle force players can utilize in their games of Star Wars Legion. With the Darksaber in hand and his three signature command cards, he's ready to fight to restore the glory of the Empire. As am I.
Is he, though? Or is he just out for his own glory?
Well, he's also joining, you know, Gideon Hask and Gideon Argus for the Council of Gideons that are now in the game now.
There is a lot of Gideons out there, isn't there?
Yeah. There are the same amount of Gideons as there are Darksaber users in Legion right now.
Wow. Because Gideon's like the Steve of, you know, a long time ago.
That is the third Battle Force confirmed. For Imperials.
Okay.
Blizzard Force, Tempest with the Ewoks, and then now the Imperial Remnant. So.
Yeah. The blurb that we got, though, for the Dark Troopers, other than the Myrtleizer Trooper.
Yes. That's the main reason I put that in the show notes.
Just so we could remember Myrtleizer.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a term if you're familiar with like 1930s Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Ah, yeah,
I feel
so
like,
moitalize him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, which is funny because if I remember correctly, Simone during the last mini extravaganza actually did call it the Myrtleizer Trooper.
And we all thought
it was like a pet name or a joke or something like that. But no, it's what the funny thing about that had to go past LFL licensing.
I swear it's probably them that came up with the name of it. I mean,
you
come
think
on.
It was LFL?
Yeah. I mean, they don't have everything named down. They probably have, you know, hex bolt part numbers for the freaking Dark Troopers.
Self-sealing stem bolts.
Oh, yes. The highest quality.
So Pablo Hidalgo, if you're the one who came up with the name Myrtleizer, thank you.
I dig it. That's funny.
But they also
can also
did name,
be substituted with one of those giant honky hammer things.
But they did name the other two heavies to the XS-4. that actually sounds funnier now that I say it out loud.
Yeah.
The XS-4 Assault Cannon Trooper and the SM-9 Frag Launcher Trooper and the Myrtleizer Trooper.
And the Myrtleizer. Those are your heavies.
They also have a new programming upgrade. But we've seen their unit card. It was released back at Mini Extravaganza.
Right.
The programming is not mandatory like most droids that have the programming slots.
Ooh,
interesting
advanced.
To see what sort of what sort of interesting programming they throw in there, at least so you can tweak it. So yeah, looking forward to those. I have two Dark Troopers and Moff Gideon already on pre-order with our friendly local game store.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
In fact, after we're recording here, I got to drive down there to pick up my Boba Fett Domio.
Yeah.
And,
oh, is it? Yeah, it's out. Yeah, that's right. Holy crap, I got to go get mine.
Yep. That and the custom card they made for me as part of the Patreon for the store.
Mm-hmm.
The one where they replaced my face on Veers.
Aww.
But yeah.
Give your boy Veer some love.
I've been running some Blizzard Force games. We haven't talked about games. I played a couple
games.
Yeah,
we kind of skipped past that.
So yeah, I played some Blizzard Force games. The funniest one, I think, was going against one of our local droid players who was running the Separatist Invasion. So Separatist Invasion versus Blizzard Force.
Wow.
So
okay.
Yeah, 8B1s, a T-Series, and an AAT.
Uh-huh.
Of his 8B1s, four of them had repair droids. And they were all standing behind that AAT. I figured I could do enough damage faster than the repair droids. But no, we...
Turns out...
So an AAT has 9 health. We calculated at the end, I had done 16 damage by the end of the game to that, and it was still alive on round 6.
Wow. Well, it's a game of objectives, so if they're all tied up, backing up the tank. No,
well, yeah. We tied on objectives. It was, it was boxes, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
No, wait, it wasn't boxes. Shoot, what objective did we play? I'm going to have to go back and look at my photos there. I don't remember what I did.
No, okay, but you tied on
but we and went to kill points, and he got me out on kill points. Oh, no, it was key positions.
Key positions. That was it.
Yeah.
Damn it, Dan.
Yeah.
You got to get all your losing out of the way before LVO.
I know. That's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, good job.
I had to dig out some older bikes that were still actually not fully assembled in order to be able to field 4 sets of bikes.
Oh, really? So I could have probably floated you a couple there, but... If you're already set, have they been painted up?
I physically have them, and they were basically my early 2018 test paint schemes. So yeah, they do not match the rest of my army.
They've been recommissioned and forced onto the front line. How'd you like playing all those bikes?
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah,
honestly, most of them had died by turn 3, but it was fun because I ran them.
When
there's a tank
on the field,
I ran them, and I was running. Oh, the variant I was running of Blizzard Force. Was Veers, the 4 bikes, 2 HRTs, 2 Snows with repair droids in them, because instead of a big centerpiece like Vader, I was running an AT-ST. So AT-ST and bikes, all wailing on an AAT that was constantly being repaired.
Man. you needed to concentrate your forward firepower.
I did. Veers' bombard went into it.
Oh, jeez.
The AT-ST was constantly into it. My bikes went into it as much as possible. And yeah, he just sat there, just repair.
So, what can men do against such reckless hate?
He did admit that if I fell into his trap, that most players have tried attacking the AAT, and that's what causes them to lose. If I had just swept over his B1s with my bikes, I probably would have won. So.
Probably.
So, yeah. So
I was saying, they put out a lot of firepower.
I just assumed. I'm like, I got the AT-ST with Impact 4. I've got the bikes with Impact 2 each. I have the HRUs with the DLT and the RT-97, so they've got Impact in them too.
Well, unfortunately, just because of the way it goes, it's like, okay, you do some damage, he repairs some damage. Then you do some more damage, he repairs some damage. So, yeah, if you could just, like... last first and get
I tried.
Oh, you really?
I was trying.
Wow.
I was last firsting with the AT-ST to try and just push it over the edge. And it was, yeah.
That's one of those, sunk cost fallacies
exactly.
going on
yeah,
in real time.
100% sunk cost fallacy. 100%.
Well, still. Are you thinking about taking Blizzard Force?
Yeah, I mean, that's my current that I'm leaning because I tried the Imperial Hero Hammer with Iden and the Bounty Hunters, and with my style of play, I don't think I'm as keen on it as...
Dark Troopers won't
be
out
in
time.
As much
as
I love Iden, she can cheer with me on the sidelines, cheering Veers on as he leans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have a lot of rules to go over.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to need to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a short break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about all these dang articles.
Hey guys, Matt here to tell you about our friends over at 6UP Supply. If you're like me and don't have access to your own 3D printers, 6UP Supply has you covered with a whole suite of printing services to bring those awesome files to life. The Outriders are proud to be partnered with 6UP, and you could find special themed terrain, gear, and tokens with a big discount for Patreon members in the Outrider Central section of the website. And that's not all. You can also get terrain bases, game supplies, tools, LED kits, and more. Stuff is being added all the time. So stop by the number 6upsupply.com and use coupon code OUTRIDER to save 10% on your next order and let them help you up your game.
You are receiving the Legion Outriders podcast. Ending the transmission now would be most unfortunate. And now, the Outriders.
Welcome back, Outriders. Matt and Dan here with you, and we have had a deluge. We're in the feasting portion of the information coming out of AMG.
Yes, and there's still more to come, too, which is great.
Yes, so this should sustain you through your holiday breaks. Hopefully everybody's having a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah.
You and the missus do anything fun to celebrate there?
She was planning on going to visit her family, but unfortunately that kind of fell through because a couple of those family members caught COVID. So
still a lot of that going around right now. So. Holy cow. Yeah. So that's probably fair.
Sorry not to bring everything down, but yeah. So it's going to be me
and
him.
Dan, how dare you inject some real life?
I wasn't planning on going with them because work initially told us we had holiday blackouts, but then never followed up on it. So people just started going on vacations anyway.
We're gonna go. Could have taken one trepidatious step out the door at a time, seeing if anybody reacts.
But by the time that I figured I could go, the prices of plane tickets were way too high, and we didn't have anyone to watch the dogs. So,
So that's fair.
But we got some awesome news articles.
You want to do Christmas sushi with us this year?
Ooh, Christmas sushi.
Yeah, it's something we've been doing the last couple of years. Our favorite sushi restaurant is always open on Christmas, and we've been going there.
I will float that to the missus because she loves sushi as well.
So, okay, cool. All right.
If I was solo this Christmas like we were planning to be, it would be definite. But now let me just make sure the missus is on.
I was going to call and make a reservation next day or two. So yeah, please do. That'd be awesome. Okay. Anyways, we have the first article that landed dealing with silhouettes, line of sight rules changes, and overall... Thumbs up, thumbs down, Dan. Just shooting from the hip.
It's a simplification.
It is.
It's not better,
it's not
worse.
And I give it a thumbs up for that.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. There are some weird edge cases that change, but overall, it's just an overall simplification of, can I see you? Yes or no. Can I shoot you? Yes or no.
I feel like I should be able to shoot you should I see you.
But there are going to be four articles before we get too deep into the one.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them, as of recording, have come out. The next two will be, by the time we get this released, you'll probably have the third one.
And you'll get a recap of that in the fourth one, hopefully, by the next podcast. So.
But also said that the full rulebook release will be released on January 16th. We mentioned that earlier on the LVO news. Giant preface that AMG put on the top of this first article.
Oh, can I read this bit? Okay.
Yes.
Because I was given to some hyperbole earlier on, but now let us be crystal clear. This is not an overhaul of the Legion rules you all know and love. Well, not everybody.
And they actually listed that twice. That's the line there.
Instead, this was an opportunity to clarify and or codify rulings as well as update certain mechanics and rules that were hindering the enjoyment of the game in ways we believed were unintended. That's a fair point. Still, I mean, I'm sure people just blew right past that and just started freaking out.
I was enjoying the potential of the conspiracy theory that I was trying to throw out there with some memes. Was the points document was version 2.5. Rules update, it's 2.5. My God. No, they're not going to X-wing us, unfortunately. They're fortunately not going to X-wing us. Even though the 2.5, I thought that was funny that was the version number.
Yeah, that is. It's an unfortunate coincidence, probably. But yeah, I was chatting with LJ the other day in our just little group chat thing, and he was saying that overall he was getting some very favorable feedback about all these articles. So I'm pretty happy to hear that. But like I said, the first one, silhouettes and line of sight changes. Starting off with the first one, small base troopers.
Looks like it's going to be the same silhouette tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing I've been kind of irked about is they did not put millimeter dimensions on these silhouettes. No, it's not just, it's,
no,
I know,
you're right,
I
you're
know.
Right, you're right. No, there should be.
There should
you're
be.
Right.
It's not just for, you know, me being me.
Yes, I know.
But for those people, you know, those groups out there, like our good friends at Six Up, we're probably going to be manufacturing these silhouettes.
That's a fair point.
As well as for, you know, tournament organizers to be able to verify that people are using the same size silhouettes and aren't cutting them slightly small or slightly large, you know, to try and game it. Because they just showed a basically what's going to be a printout, like what was in the previous document.
Has anybody like gotten on the rules forum and asked it for exact dimensions?
So yes and no.
Okay.
Because I asked LG on the side. I'm like, has anyone actually put forward this? And yeah, basically any posts pertaining to new rules being posted on the rules forum are not being answered until the full rulebook is out.
So it might be like one of those call outs and revised or something like
Or well, maybe they're, like I said, they're just doing it as a blanket. In my opinion, this is completely my subjective thing here, that they're probably not answering because they may take a bunch of questions that may be answered in other areas of the rulebook or in subsequent articles, or just information that hasn't been released yet.
Yeah.
So they're not going to waste energy trying to answer all these things on when they've got the more stuff coming. So
we need to start doing disclaimers. The opinions expressed by the hosts in this podcast are exclusively their own and do not reflect
AMG or anything. So I'm sure enough people have gone, hey, sure, what size are these things? To be sure. Because it's not so much the small base trooper silhouette, it's the notch-based trooper silhouette.
There it is. Yeah. Yes, the notch-based silhouette tool being added to the rulebook. Exact dimensions currently still unknown.
Yep. This is
Estimated 1.5 inches?
Right. So we did some... We tried to do some measurements and size. And we haven't gone per pixel yet on this, but we're estimating it's roughly about 1.5 times the height of the standard silhouette.
Uh-huh.
And believe it, I did not do this with Jeff. I did this with Outsider Dan.
Really?
Yes, because he actually has been having a lot of fun printing his own stuff right now. So he actually produce a bunch of silhouettes.
Well.
And unfortunately, we don't have exact dimensions yet.
The Outriders and the Outsiders have teamed up to make the most perfect Dan.
Yes. So our current estimations, this is purely an estimate, it is not fact, is that it's 63 millimeters tall.
Do not base your production run on these dimensions.
Yes. So we're roughly saying they're 63 millimeters by the standard.
Thank you for
27,
putting the
so.
Metric in there as well.
Oh, well, everything in here is in metrics.
Okay.
So some interesting implications with this new notch-based trooper silhouette. All notch-based troopers, whether it be from the Mortar and the Mark II all the way up to the FD cannon, are now the same height.
Wait. Really?
Yes, their silhouette is now, because it's the same tool for all notch-based. So all creature troopers, all emplacement troopers.
Even though the base size? Oh, but their height is
their height
be,
is what matters, yeah.
Which
so,
is going to be that 1.5.
And this is true for, so all silhouettes now are going to be a cylinder coming out of the base to whichever height for that, which applies to that model. So for standard troopers, it's going to be the standard trooper silhouette, small base troopers. For notch-based troopers, it's going to be the notch-based silhouette. And for vehicles, it's going to be based on their hull. But we'll get the vehicles a little bit more later.
But, okay, so something like Tauntaun's going to end up looking like a can of tuna for a silhouette or
basically.
Something. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. And all of them are. So basically cannon. Some very crafty people online, especially I saw this also posted in the 5th Troopers blog, did basically the tabletop simulator models and then putting cylinders on them to show size on there.
Okay.
You can see. So the FD cannon is just shy. It's like a little bit shy of the actual top of the model.
Oh, okay.
Whereas though the Mark II and the mortar have a bit of height over the actual model.
Mm.
So it works both ways though. Not only can you see them easier, but they can see you easier.
Easier.
Because we haven't gotten into how to use these silhouettes yet. We'll get that in the next section. Yep. But that is the silhouette is going to be the same height for all notched-based troopers.
Okay. Yeah. But the next one I find really interesting. This is kind of how I played it anyways.
This is how most people play it, honestly.
Yeah, with the silhouette on vehicles, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What is... Did they say?
There's
Do
no
you have the exact line? But basically, it's from the hull.
Right. So there's no physical tool for vehicles. It's just going to be, a cylinder coming out of the base to the top of the hull.
Not antennas or
no
or guns or things
no
like that hanging off.
Yeah, no crew.
Yeah,
which makes a couple vehicles interesting. I'll get to that in a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So, but yeah, so it's basically a tube. Now, keep in mind, it's also a cylinder out of the base. So vehicles that overhang the base, the AAT is a big one. The big front end of that usually overhangs the base.
Yeah, for sure.
So that actually doesn't count as part of the silhouette.
Really?
Because it's a cylinder out of the base.
Okay.
Where was my other one here? The antennas on the spider droids, of course. I mean, yeah. No one's been playing for the while. But my favorite, and since I've been playing Blizzard Force, this actually plays into that. Bikes. Crew don't count.
Because they are vehicles.
Because they are vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that means all the riders on the bikes, the swoops, the barks, the staps, aren't considered part of the...
Wow.
So that actually makes the Imperial Speeder bike considerably shorter. In silhouette.
Yeah. Is there that one guy that's turning up and sitting up and turning around and all that? Yeah. Interesting. Okay. That's, I'm curious if they'll have corrections for that at all, but
no, I mean, they're just trying to standardize across all, because remember the previous one was on this vehicle, you shoot from this point, and in this vehicle, you go from this point.
So I couldn't do something like take the occupier tank and those little cargo crates and stack them end on top of each other
to the hull.
Not to any of the extras.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's probably a good thing.
Now, I've seen some fun 3D printed customizations of those occupiers that put like an APC like covered area in the back,
or
even cannon on it to make it look like a big tank.
Yeah.
Obviously, those are completely third party.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, the occupier actually does get a bit shorter now because the gunner who sits up on that pintle isn't counted as part of that anymore.
But it's kind of important for these cylinders because how line of sight is going to be interacting with them is going to be a little bit different on that. So what's the change there, Dan?
So for line of sight, the attacker chooses any point in their silhouette to shoot at any other point in the defender silhouette. So basically
can my cylinder see your cylinder at any point?
Yes.
Fire away. Yeah.
Can I see you? Yes. So some interesting little things on that is, of course, the AT-ST can now aim from its feet. So if you have an overhang and you've got troopers underneath it, in the old rules, the AT-ST had to shoot from the top of the hole.
Yeah,
and if it couldn't see the owner, now it can shoot down on there.
It's going to start kicking down basically. There. Yeah. Hey, that's fine.
The AAT, because the hole, you know, that's the main turret on top. But since the cylinder goes all the way over to the edge of the base, you got about 2 inches of... of, you know, 2 inches to the left of the cannon that you can see someone and shoot from. But of course, like I said, I know I'm breaking down the nitty gritty here, but it's
that's what you like to do, bud.
It's to simplify it. It says, yes, can my tuna can see your tuna can? It's going to make judge calls a lot less, you know, a lot less of a thing. So.
Yeah. Okay. So how does this work with multi-mini units now?
Let me pull the exact wording here. If at least half the miniatures in the defending unit are obscured, the defending unit has cover. So it's more for cover. It's not for line of sight. Because if you can't see any of them, then obviously you don't have a shot.
Yeah.
type is of cover is determined by whatever's obscuring the defending unit. So whether it be high, heavy cover or light cover. If miniatures in the defending unit are obscured by terrain that provides light cover and some terrain that provides heavy cover, if more than half the obscure minis are in the heavy cover, defending against heavy cover, otherwise the unit has light cover. So the idea is if you've got three guys in light cover and two guys in heavy cover, it just goes to the highest cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now it goes to whatever you have the most in, which is going to be light cover.
Okay. That seems fair to me, yeah.
Which made it clarifies, actually, the weird edge case of you have, say, the unit leader out of cover, two of the unit minis in light cover and two of the unit minis in heavy cover, say one behind a barricade, two behind another box or something that's light cover.
Yeah.
Which cover does that unit have? Well, now it's actually light cover because they're obscured, they're in cover, but not more than half of them are in the heavy cover thing.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
So
it makes it on light cover.
Okay.
So, and the other big change with that is how wounds are assigned.
Yes, this was something that, I don't know, I like it. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's basically for those scenarios where, hey, wounds are assigned based on, you know, what's actually visible. So if I'm able to position my guy in such a way that it can only see like a heavy trooper in a unit or something like that, well, that's the one that's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not so much. Yeah, what did they change?
So they wanted to eliminate terrain scoping,
yeah,
or terrain sniping. So now, whenever the defender has wounds coming in, the defender can choose to assign those wounds to anything in the unit, even if they're obscured.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking, oh, heck, what if I have 6 wounds coming in? No, it is limited to the number of wounds that the unit can potentially take is based on the number of visible actual minis.
Okay.
So if only 3 are visible, 2 behind a wall, and for whatever reason you get 6 damage passed, only 3 damage needs to be assigned.
Okay.
Because only those 3 are visible. But the defending player can assign those to the guys who are behind the wall.
Yeah.
So basically this just preserves heavies.
There will be no cowardice in this army.
Yes. So technically you could just hang the unit leader and the heavy around a corner and then keep everyone else hidden behind there and keep your heavy alive for a round or two longer than it should have.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I like that. That's so good. They should be one of the last ones to die. And yeah, it always felt bad when I was like, oh, so because you did that, now my guy has to die. That seems kind
of think of it like Enemy of the Gates. One man falls, the other man picks up his rifle.
Yeah, there you go. See, there's plenty of cinematic reasons for things to happen the way they do.
Now, of course, this also means that you can't. You can hide snipers the way we used to. And actually there was some confusion because there was an older version of the article when it was first posted. It didn't actually say this limited damage thing based on number of minis visible. So people assume that strike teams were completely dead. But now, basically, if you have a strike team with one guy hidden, one guy out, the one guy out gets enough wounds to die. You apply it to the guy behind. You're not just swapping the model's positions. You're actually keeping the one guy out.
Right. Okay. So makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, would you like me to introduce article number 2?
I pass.
damn, I was going to do it. You won. Okay. So, this is going to be actually one of the fundamentally new thing being introduced to the game at this point.
Yeah, there's been talk of wanting this for quite some time in the community.
It's been used in other game systems. I think people are familiar with the whole pass system. Mm-hmm. But what does the article actually lay out for us there?
So at the beginning of the activation phase, so when you basically choose if you're going or not, the active player, you can either choose to activate a unit or you can choose to pass.
So
you can pass. You're mm-hmm. allowed to pass if you have fewer remaining orders than your opponent.
Ah, okay. So you can't just pass because you want to.
No.
It's like, no, you go. No, you go.
and actually, to calculate how many remaining orders, the rulebook says that you add together the face-up order tokens on your army has on the battlefield, the ones that are in the player's pool, and the ones that are on their command cards. So cards like Ploy and Voracious Ambition, where you have order tokens on the card itself.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the way they worded that sentence because they put face-up order tokens their army has on the battlefield in the player's order pool and in their command cards. While grammatically it's correct, it kind of implies that your face-up things in your order pool and only face-up things on command cards.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. So I wish they would actually put that the face-up order tokens as the last, like, ones in your pool, ones on command cards, and face-up order tokens. Because I'm sure we're going to get lots of rules forum posts saying, am I only counting the face-up ones on command cards? I'm only counting the face-up ones in my order pool?
Yeah.
But no, it's just face-up on the battlefield, stop.
How many activations that have yet to be activated, basically?
Not quite.
Correct me, please.
There is some interesting situations you can get into.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay. Already? We're here already?
Yes. So when a player chooses to pass, they do not activate a unit mm-hmm. and their turn ends.
Right.
And you can only pass once per round.
Once per round. Yep.
So you only have 6 opportunities to pass, or whoever has the least number of activations available. So calculating that, units with face-up orders that are defeated before they have activate, that order is still in the pool because you don't discard it until you pull it and you can't assign it to anyone.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Wait, what?
So if you've got somebody on the battle, you have a unit on the battlefield that hasn't activated yet.
Right.
And it gets wiped off the table.
Okay.
That order token is still in your bag. So when you go, and it says when you calculate it, you count the number ones in your bag and on the table. So that one still technically.
You stop that right now, mister. Maybe that'll be one of those rules that gets a slight adjustment. Like when
you
go get that token right now and you take that out.
There are a couple command cards that put order tokens and move them in different places, put them back, etc.
Sure.
Implacable on Vader lets you put it back in the pool. So that will change the number that you're calculating because it's back in the pool. There are a couple command cards that let you activate back to back. So you're actually using them. So you will have less afterwards.
The chain activations, right. Yeah.
So the somebody has to save our skins with Leia and Common Cause with Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Let you activate back-to-back, so. Ones like Pin Down and Double the Fall, though, those only have you move it from the table back to the pool. So that you're not actually changing the number there. They're just moving the location of them. So those don't affect anything. Uh-huh. And we haven't seen this yet because it's going to be on the upcoming Dark Troopers. Units that have more than one command token. We were back in Mini Extravaganza,
they've got two.
So that's actually going to factor into the calculation of being able
to pass. Those are command tokens. Interesting.
So there's a lot more nuance in figuring this out.
And here I thought it was just counting whole numbers.
No, it's not counting numbers. It's counting.
Damn. All right. I'm sure it'll be pretty straightforward. 95%
yeah.
of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These are all weird edge cases.
Which is
like
where
that.
You live your life. Yes. I know. You're living on the edge. That's Dan.
That's what I do.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, yeah, we got two more articles coming up. One on the January 19th and one on December 19th. I wrote the wrong dates on
here. Yeah, you did.
Because
yeah,
I'm already ready
for January.
I'm reading the I'm pulling a...
It's probably because the rules are dropping in January.
Yeah. That's why I wrote that. Articles are coming December 19th and December 21st. 21st. Wow.
It's a Festivus miracle.
You'll probably
December
get
December the 21st. Oh, we're just going off the card here.
Oh, man. Yeah, so articles coming out. They'll probably be the next one will probably be out. I don't know. I hate to speculate, but there had to be a reason grappling hooks went up by one. So I'm assuming something with vertical movement has changed.
Maybe they just hate grappling hooks. Just want to make sure. Hey, not only do they suck, but you got to pay more for it too.
We're instituting a cost minimum. No upgrade can cost more than one.
It has to cost
more than one.
We're going to be playing Chicken Legion. You got to dare each other into taking certain upgrades. It was actually a format we did. That might be fun to do as a side event at one of the things is you basically design a list for your opponent to play and you bring the army and you basically swap.
It has to be legal.
It has to be legal, right.
But and they design the worst army
they can and then you play each other.
Because, yeah, there's lots of useless upgrades you can put on there.
Sure.
People that already have, scale or expert climber.
just fill out all the upgrade cards there. grappling hooks for everybody. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so yeah, I'll look forward to those new articles and all of the new rule shenanigans that we can find.
Yeah, coming your way, and of course we'll discuss it then. But other than that, I think we should have one more episode before the new year.
I'll have to look at the calendar again. If not,
have a happy new year. Happy holidays, everybody. Yeah, yeah. Stay tuned. We'll have more episodes coming your way.
Yeah,
but,
we need to get our annual pre-LVO episode in. So
that'll definitely be coming up here real soon. But that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. Remember, if you have any news, questions, or events you'd like to get the word out on, feel free to contact us at legionoutriders@gmail.com or head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/legionoutriders, where Dan will be assiduously posting memes and links to all the impertinent things. Where can people find you out in the wild there, Dan?
It's Dan Tech on the Discord or Outrider Dan, also hanging out in your Twitch streams.
Thank you, which you can find at twitch.tv/captain_archer. The same on Discord or as Outrider Matt. But otherwise, thanks again, everybody. Happy holidays, and we'll see you real soon.
This concludes the current episode of the Legion Outriders podcast. You may cultivate a tactical advantage by observing the Outriders on Facebook or Twitter, at Legion Outriders. Wisdom advocates subscribing to the podcast. Acting otherwise is reckless.